Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
All right, on today's episode of Nothing Major, it's festive season. Sometimes I read this rundown that we get from the suits. Festive season, that's what they wrote in there. It's holiday season. Festive season.
Seasons.
We got that. Naughty or nice list. We're going to talk about what players are nice, what players are naughty on both the ATP and the WTA. We've got fan questions. So let's get going, everyone. All right, welcome back. I got Jack Sock, Steve Johnson, John Isner, myself. We got Charlie Fox, the team at SIFT, who always crush it for us, as you guys know. Everyone, the team at SIFT, I feel like they're popular. You guys feel like that too? I feel like a lot of times the clips come out, and you look through the comments, and like, who's editing this?
It's not us.
It's not us, and people realize that. People realize that. So thanks again to the team at SIFT. Again, remember the award show next Friday, but you can go vote right now. They're open for another day. Host of the year, moment of the year, best quote of the year, worst player pronunciation, and the worst take. Go vote now. Voting closes Saturday, and we are going to pick five voters at random for that swag bag. Remember, three shirts, two hoodies, and everyone who's eligible, just make sure you include your email so we can hunt you down, and you're going to get that swag bag. So let us know, and then we're going to talk about those awards. It's going to be fun. And then we're also going to do another award show, ATP Awards. And so if you guys have any ideas on categories, let us know. We've got a bunch of fun ones, but if someone else has any other fun ones, and not just player of the year, we're thinking like outside the box awards.
Yeah, we don't want serious ones.
Yeah, we're going to do that. So, all right. Last week, John teased the companion pass story. I was going to talk about that. You know, we talk about a lot of players. You travel, obviously we travel, and we're talking. I love talking about players that get their, you know, frequent flyer miles. But for 6 or 7 years, I did this thing called companion pass. My coach at the time, David Nakin, he had a buddy who was a pilot at American Airlines. So basically, what I did at American Airlines for like 6 or 7 years, this guy was a pilot. His wife was also a pilot. I gave him, I don't even know if this is legal, but I don't play anymore. I gave him credentials at the US Open, the French Open, and the tournament in Miami. And in return, I basically got 8 free first class airline tickets around the world during the year. But the caveat was you had to go on this like pilot pass, companion pass thing, and you had to go standby. So if I was going to go LA to London, there was like a nonstop flight on American. You know, I'd talk with the pilot. He'd be like, hey, on Thursday night, you're good. He'd go to the airport, but sometimes that flight would fill up. And so then last minute, he'd say, hey, that London flight's full, is going to fill up. Now I've got you going through New York. So like run to the airport and hit the LA, New York, and then go New York, London. But then you might be at the gate at the flight for New York. You'd be like, New York just filled up. You're going through Chicago. Then you like run to the airport to the Chicago flight. But if you were a pilot, if you were a companion pass, you had to dress nice too. So I was always in like a long sleeve button down shirt, nice slacks, the nice shoes. But what did Stevie? You're shaking your head. How good is that deal?
Not worth it. No, it's unbelievable. But it's like this. I'm thinking about the stress level.
Ultimately,
like, is through the roof.
Yeah, yeah. No, it got stressful. You know, the flights to Asia were always easy, but yeah, it started to get a little stressful. And then also, once you were on the flight, you were always served, like, if it was always a first class seat, but you were served last. Like, you know, they come like by the get all the food, you take your order last, which who cares? I'm getting the flight for free. But it was a good deal. But yes, ultimately, it got too stressful. And then like, the airline kind of started to kind of get, they were privy to it. So like, there was a few times they'd be like, no, there's a coach seat on the flight. I'm like, well, I'm not getting on the coach seat. Like, I'm just not going to get on the flight. They're like, your bag's on the plane. I was like, well, you don't have to find it in there because I'm not getting on the plane. And then I would like delay the whole flight because I'd start to refuse to get on the flight. And then like the whole thing just kind of fell apart. But it was like a 6-7 year run where I was getting these like free first class tickets in exchange for credentials at tournaments. Pretty good deal.
This is totally you and totally stressful. Like, I could not deal with that type of stress. Like, I want to see my ticket, see my plane, have my seat. Go to the gate. Like, I can't do what you do. You're amazing at it, I will say. I mean, John and I have talked about it a lot, especially with traveling with the kids. You, sir, do not get flustered in the least. It's amazing, is it not, John? I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's
Jack, would you have done that deal that I just took or no?
Absolutely not. Honestly, solely for the fact that you have to wear a long sleeve button down and be uncomfortable as well on these long flights. Like, you can't even like wear a hoodie and some sweatpants and like be comfortable for this. Like, absolutely not. I'll buy full price ticket every time over that.
I'll say 70% of the time it was just like the original flight worked.
One time you did have to fly Eek, right? Like to London. I do remember
one time I had to fly economy, like just there. Middle. I was like, you cannot. No, I don't know if it was middle. But it was economy, and that's where it just started. The whole thing started to like unravel on itself.
Sam would be the one guy that's like at the Johnston and Murphy like kiosks in like Newark Airport, like trying to buy like a nice button down because he doesn't have one on the flight.
The only guy that ever shopped in there.
With the Brooks Brothers.
I always wonder how those shops at the airport make money.
Or the luggage. The crazy one is like you get through security and you buy luggage.
Yeah. I know.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
What is that?
I don't know. Like, what are you going to buy in the airport?
I guess they figured it's so light, so you can just it just acts as your carry on.
Do you get an extra carry on if you buy a carry on in the airport?
Who's buying a Rolex at the airport? That's what I want to know.
Well, that's an easier one to travel with.
I remember when John bought a bunch of nice like lotions and creams at one place and then we go to security and they had to take them away after you just bought them.
But it was Kiehl's.
Kiehl's.
It was Kiehl's. I bought it and they were too big, and I bought it pre-airport, Jack, at like a store, and then we were going through the – I bought like $120 worth of like Kiehl's, like hand lotion and face lotion, and boom, they took them all.
Within five minutes of purchase, they're gone.
Yeah. I'm like so pissed. I'm like, well, will you use it? You know, the TSA agent, like take it home with you. I just want someone to use it. I don't want it to be thrown away. And they're like, nope, and he drops it in the trash can.
What? Yeah. Maybe he picked it out like of the trash later.
He might have. I hope he did.
Yeah, I hope he did too.
At least someone got to use it.
Yeah.
That's a bad beat.
It was tough for a frugal guy watching that just drop right in the trash.
It was tough.
Just light a crisp 100 right on fire.
Yeah, that's funny.
But you know how TSA is? Like, come on. It's like 90% of the time the stuff gets through anyways. I've had water bottles get through all the time that I've forgotten about. It's all about who's checking the x-ray machine.
Does that make you feel better or worse about traveling?
Yeah, I know.
I think they should abolish the TSA completely. It makes me feel better about traveling, actually.
And just no security? No security on the plane?
No security.
I can't agree with that one.
That's insanity.
Abolish the TSA, dude.
That's maybe the craziest thing I've ever heard.
That's the craziest thing that's ever been. Look, this is not too late for most controversial take of the pod on 2025.
No, abolish TSA. Maybe you can go through, you know, you don't have to put your bag through anything. You can go through a metal detector. That's it.
What if guys just are bringing machetes on the plane?
Abolish the TSA.
All right. Well, we'll get into that off the.
So you guys don't agree with me?
No.
You want security lines hour long? Atlanta airport?
Yeah. I don't go through Atlanta.
Worst place on earth.
I'd like to have security.
Atlanta is the worst airport. Most security.
You guys are insane. Traveling through the airport with kids. You want to do all that crap? No.
Dude, what if someone brings like a grenade on the plane?
Dude.
Dude.
Come on. There's ways to, you don't need the TSA. It's useless. It's completely useless.
Some type of security before
you can do metal detectors or something, but no, like you got to whisk people through the airport quicker. It's out of control.
I don't even know what to say right now.
I'm out.
Jim, I'm right about this.
Just looked at you with a still face for like a minute. Just yeah. Like how insane
I'm
that
right
was.
About this. I'm right about this. I'm telling you. Anyways.
99.9%
people. I can't even continue on right now. All right.
We might just need to end the pod right now.
I think John, we might need to just end this.
John's on my naughty list, I think.
No. Yeah, John's on everyone's naughty list.
I can't believe you guys don't agree with me.
Of course, no one likes the lines. Sense. No one likes the lines.
All right. We are digressing.
We're going in circles.
You have digressed, sir.
All right, here we go. Jack, good transition. We're going to go to our naughty or nice list now. John's on everyone's naughty list after that. But
I'm
we're
never
gonna
fine
keep
with
it
John
to
again.
Current ATP WTA players. We're going to give you someone on the nice list from the ATP Tour and WTA Tour for each of us, and someone on that naughty list from each tour. Let's start with the nice list.
Say that again, Sam.
The naughty list. All right. We're going to start with the women. Let's go the nice list for the WTA Tour. Stevie J, you are first. Who is on your nice list? Do you want to go first, Jack?
Did you not read the...
I didn't know we had it. There's a snake order. No. I didn't realize there was a snake order. Jack, please go first.
He's going to take
Who is on your nice list on the WTA Tour?
I'm going to go with just... Miss never in the drama and nothing, just Pegula. So on my nice list. Yeah, just one of the nicest people, involved in anything on the court, goes about her business. Just nice, all around nice gal.
Yeah. Nice gal. That is good. There's so many. I mean,
yeah,
the overwhelming majority of the men and women are so nice. All right, according to the snake draft, I am next. On my nice list for the WTA Tour, I'm giving it to Sabalenka. I know she's number one in the world, but she's like so good with the fans, so good on social. Yeah. Anytime like ESPN or TNT wanted her on the desk, it was like a yes right away and came with like the biggest smile, biggest like, you know, fun personality. So Sabalenka gets it for me. Next, nice. Stevie, who is your WTA?
I'm going to go with former guest of the pod, Ons Jabeur.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
She's always been super friendly, super nice, always smiling.
That's great.
I think she's pregnant, right?
She is pregnant. Congratulations to her.
So, yes.
All right. Good one. Isner.
All right. I'm going to go there. As you mentioned, there are so many choices here. I'm going to go with Jasmine Paolini.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never not smiling.
Yes. Good she's call. Great.
I think that the nice list is like just the unannoying list for all of us. Like,
Yeah.
Whoever's just like.
I almost went with Mira Andreeva.
Yeah. Like, she's honorable fantastic. Mention.
Honorable
she's
mention.
Fantastic.
Iva Jovic, honorable mention. Like
Coco. Obviously, was up there.
Coco. Yeah,
there's seriously. A million. I mean, you could do the run down the whole list. There's 98 in the top 100.
Yeah. Ooh, 98. There's two Ooh. That are on the. They might be on the naughty list.
They might be
up.
On the naughty list.
All right. Let's go over to the men right now. Back to Stevie, who is on the nice list for the ATP Tour for Steve Johnson?
It's Casper Ruud.
Yeah.
He's annoyingly nice, honestly.
Yeah, you would find that annoying.
I don't find it annoying. It's like a backhanded compliment. Like, he's annoyingly
nice. Yeah, exactly. You would find it annoying that he is just nice.
He is. all right, good one. Jack, who's on your nice list?
I hate to do it, but just Carlitos Alcarazitos is just always smiling, always nice. Like you said, great with the fans. And it doesn't seem like a act at all or a facade. Just seems like he's just genuinely nice all the time on and off the court.
Oh, that's like he's been doing these exos, you know, this last week, and he's entertaining, like engaging. He's a good showman. You're right. And he's just he's nice to every single person.
That's what it seems like.
He comes across. All right, over to me. My boy Joao Fonseca. I mean, for a guy, what are you laughing at? Of course, I mean, he's 19 or 20. For a new guy, I mean, he couldn't be nicer. Like everyone says good things about him. You think he could be a little cocky if he wanted, because he's just like the fourth or fifth biggest name in tennis, but he's not. He's humble. He's down to earth. He's so nice. Joao Fonseca on my nice list.
I have two choices here. One's going to come
can give them both. I'll allow it.
Okay. You allow it? All right. The one I want to say this is going to come as a surprise because he might end up on y'all's naughty list, but it's Medvedev.
Well, you can't surprise us any more than your previous take before this.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
It's Medvedev. How nice is he off, like, off the court? How nice is he?
Very, so nice.
Thank you. So he's on my nice list.
All right. I like it. Who's the other one?
Yeah, who's the other guy?
Jaume Munar.
Yeah, great guy.
Great guy. He's a great guy.
Have you ever talked to Jaume Munar?
Yes. I spent a week at Rafa's Academy before the French Open years ago. And he lives in Mallorca. And so he was there. And he didn't practice with me. he wanted some rhythm. But he was there and he was so nice. He was like, he was fantastic.
All right. Good one.
We kind of struck up a friendship right then and there.
I love that. All right, now the one that the people want. Who's on the naughty list? This one's tough. The naughty list. Back to Stevie, WTA Tour. Who is on? No, Jack. Why can't I get?
I know you did the last time.
No, I did on the men too. Sorry. Yeah. I'm going to go to Jack. Who is on your naughty list on that WTA Tour?
I'm going to go with Ostapenko.
I knew that was coming.
And sometimes she gets into it on the court with some people, like kind of just a little whiny.
What?
We've talked about this a little bit and other players have posted it. She's like reselling some tournament gifts like perfumes and vacuum cleaners and stuff. I love it.
Yeah.
Honestly.
It's good entertainment.
It's such good entertainment.
It's a hustle. It's a side hustle.
It's a hustle. I respect the hustle. I'm trying to sell some used goods. All right, Stevie, who is on your WTA naughty list?
I just don't like the way you say it, but it's Yulia Putintseva. She's always just seems to be in controversy, as our folks across the pond would say.
Yeah.
She's like, you know, she's got the staring at the ball kid. She just you don't do anything to the ball people out there, ball kids, ball adults. Like, treat those people. You got to treat them fully with respect. You can't dog those people while you're out on the court. So I don't like that.
Have you seen her shoelace stunt, by the way? Do you know about her shoelace thing?
No. Yes.
When she's losing, she always packs shoelaces, Putintseva, in her bag. But whenever it's like a critical time in the match, she'll like slide to the ball and then immediately say she like ripped the shoelace on her thing. And it's like a tactic go, takes minutes on minutes, and then change the shoelace. And the other girls always freak out. Like,
naughty.
It's a full thing. Naughty.
Yeah, that's real naughty.
Yeah. It's like coal in the stocking.
Holy smokes. All right, over to me. My naughty list on the WTA is going to be Rybakina. And that's just because she's spoiled, I feel like, at the end of the year. Like, Rybakina is very popular. She's so good. But I feel like she, because she won the year-end finals, you know, Sabalenka, Swiatek, Coco Gauff, they're all more popular. She spoiled it for a lot of fans that were cheering for their favorite players to win. Rybakina just came in and said, no, I'm going to win this thing. So she is on my naughty list.
Interesting.
Who you got?
I'm going to say, and I'm saying this because I think she would say this as well. She would admit that she's on the naughty list. It's Danielle Collins. I mean, their whole thing in Australia, like getting this, I'm going to go on a big vacation in the Bahamas. She did the Instagram thing about it. Like, it's, you know, she owns it. She owns it.
Yeah. She embraces the naughtiness.
She's a heel.
It's true.
In the WWE world.
Yes.
Good call.
She is what we would call a heel.
Okay. Yeah. Most people wouldn't know that because nobody watches.
Millions of people watch, but.
Yeah. All right. Good ones. ATP Tour now. ATP Tour naughty list. Back to Jack. Who you got?
I'm going to go with, and honestly, this is a naughty list, but like also entertaining. And I also kind of like it though. I'm going to go with Corentin Moutet.
Oh, he's super naughty.
But it's almost
super naughty.
We're going to need a naughty counter for Sam in this episode.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to watch. It's kind of entertaining, but he does take it too far, I feel like, at times and kind of disrupt play. And I don't know. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Moutet.
That's going to be hard to beat. Stevie?
Yeah, it's going to be Medvedev, not for his off-course antics, but his on-court antics. You rack up, you know, a couple $100,000 worth of fine across the year, you're on the naughty list.
Was it that much?
Australia had a big one. China Open had a big one. US Open had a big one.
How do you know this?
Stevie was the guy getting fined all the time. So
he's probably on the board.
Yeah.
I'm the head of fine.
Yeah.
Head of fines for the ATP.
All right, good one. I'm going to John next. Who you got on the naughty list?
I feel like saying when you'd be all over this one.
I'm going to go Riley Opelka.
Yeah, he's naughty.
Yeah.
He's controversial. It's like comment on the Berg's Instagram. And again, he would embrace that as well.
Yeah.
Nicest guy in the world. We know that. He's a total sweetheart. But bit of a heel.
He is a bit of a heel.
He likes to be, he likes being naughty. For me, I got to give it to Short Mahach just for pulling out him every week.
Yeah, I thought about him.
You know, like, and probably a great guy. I've honestly never talked to him, but he does pull the ripcord and, you know, plays a few games a set a lot. How many, you counted it this year, John, at some point, it was like 10 times.
Is out of control. Yeah, it's out of control.
It was out of control. So he's going to get some coal in his stocking this year. All right, that was a good list. We'll see how that plays out next year. All right, this episode is once again brought to you by Aura Frames. I don't know about you guys, I'm the worst gift giver of all time. I'm always thinking, what should I get my parents, mother-in-law, father-in-law, my wife, my kids? I never know, so I get them nothing. Not this year. This year, I'm getting them the Aura Frame. It's awesome. It's like a picture frame, but within that picture frame, it's not one picture. It's as many pictures as you want. And videos, and you can upload them to that picture or to the Aura Frame. You just get the app. It's super easy. So if you're on vacation, set a text in your friends and family pictures. You upload it to the Aura Frame. Maybe they have it in their family room, maybe the bedroom, maybe the kitchen, and the pictures and videos automatically just go onto the Aura Frame. It's actually really cool. And you can give the Aura Frame now, instead of just giving them a blank Aura Frame for the holidays, and they're like, what is this? No. It's loaded with the pictures and videos already, so they've got the gift kind of ready to go. It's super cool. Everyone go check it out. Again, I'm not someone that gives gifts ever. I actually am giving this gift this year. It's really cool. And for a limited time, save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off Aura's best-selling Carver Matte Frames, named number one by Wirecutter, by using the promo code NOTHINGMAJOR at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code NOTHINGMAJOR. This deal is exclusive to our listeners, and frames sell out fast. So order yours now to get it in time for the holidays. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
All right, it's off-season time. I want to look back on our off-seasons. But first, I wanted to bring up this. Is there even an off-season in tennis anymore? I'm convinced there's just not even an off-season. There's exhibitions going on right now. There's the UTS. Davis Cup was a week ago. The United Cup probably starts like December 30th. Like, Stevie, is there even why do you even say there's an off-season in tennis? Guys go on a vacation for a week, and they just start practicing again.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. I think you have to say it, or it's just like, you know, every other sport has an off season. So like you say, it's the off season, but it's the same thing. You know, it's the same thing. I would equate it to golf, right? Like the golf season has been over for let's call it 6 weeks, but they're still playing events. There's still stuff going on. So there's really not an off season in golf as well. You can choose to take a longer one. But in the tennis world, no, there's not really an off season. There's, I would call it just a winter break for us here in the States. You know, like it's, you get a few weeks off and then you go back to training. I mean, everybody has their own method on how much time they want to take off, what they want to do in their, you know, 3 or 4 weeks to get better or get healthy, whatever it might be. But there's real no off season. And, but guys can choose to play tournaments. You can take mini breaks throughout the year. You can take 3-4 weeks off at a time. So it just depends how you do your schedules, but there will be guys that play 35 weeks a year plus exhibitions and plus things where it's just insane. But yeah, there's really no off season, but I think it's good for the guys like Carlos and these guys who actually, you know, who have such a limited schedule compared to most, because they win everything, to do these exhibitions. I think it does grow the game immensely when you see him and these guys, you know, at events trying to grow the game in certain areas.
Yeah. Jack, what did your normal off season look like? Assuming you had like 6 weeks back in the day.
Yeah. Preseasons for me was usually in Kansas City, in the bubbles. Yeah. I mean, couple hours of tennis, couple hours of gym stuff. Yeah. And then some like body work, you know, recovery stuff, all the typical.
Who are you hitting with in Kansas City?
Usually did some 2-on-1s with some high school kids, or a couple years like Monroe and some other guys would come in for a little bit of time. But yeah, usually honestly my time there, even in my good years, I was just hit with a couple of like high school kids, but two on one side and drill it up. Yeah.
Is there your off season? Would you go about it? Would you like say, all right, I'm going to take 2 weeks off and do nothing, and then like maybe gym for 2 weeks, then start playing tennis? Or what was yours like?
No, I would take time off. I'd do like 2 weeks, no tennis, but I wouldn't take time off from the gym just because I don't know, like that made me feel good. And it didn't go. I always said this, it going to the gym never wore me out. It rejuvenated me in my mind. So I would go to the gym and I wouldn't play tennis for sure. But this might be a controversial take. The off season's so overrated.
So like, overrated.
It's like you don't really have, especially when you, once you've sort of established yourself, and maybe as you get to your late 20s, let's say, like you're not reinventing the wheel. You just need to sort of maintain and just keep yourself healthy. Obviously, be really professional, but you don't need to, in my mind, you don't need to absolutely kill yourself during the course of 3 weeks. Work hard, sleep well, eat well, and just get ready for the next year. Like, I just think if you're 20 and you're new on tour, yes, you need to get your body stronger. I think there's a certain at the beginning of your career on the professional tour, the off season's very, very important to get that strong base that you need for the upcoming year. But once you establish yourself, just sort of about maintaining and just keeping things smooth. And most importantly, keeping yourself healthy, taking care of yourself in that regard. Treatment becomes just as important as the gym work and the work on the court, just so you can go out and do it again.
I always hated the question. If you went down to Australia and had like a big win, you go in the interview room, you're like, what'd you do different in this offseason? Yeah. Like nothing.
Yeah, I just happened to play well today.
Yeah. Yeah.
I slept well the night before and I felt good on the court.
Reporters are always looking for that. Like, wow, this offseason I spent 6 hours in the gym, and then like specifically on the tennis court, I was doing this, this, and this. Like that never happens.
I'm with you, dude.
Stevie, you remember the one offseason at Carson? Jim Courier just become the Davis Cup captain. He was down there. He lived in LA. We all lived there. So we'd come like every day for 3 weeks we'd start playing tennis at 9, and every day the court was wet at 9. And we're like, maybe we could start at 10 when the court dries. He's like, no, we get here at 9. I'm like, we get here at 9 and we just wait till 10.
Nothing
different for 3 weeks.
This is very prevalent in the Southern California community on the south side of tennis courts. It's just dewy and wet in the mornings. So you got to get the blowers out. But yeah, we were there every day. And then for an hour, you would just do 2-on-1s with the two guys at the net on the south side.
Yeah.
And you would just
– brutal.
You would just grind it out. But yeah, it's overrated. You work on certain things, you get healthy if you have some time off, and
yeah,
that's it. But some guys like don't take any time off though.
No, so, I mean, well, I was gonna ask. Let me go back to Jack. Did you ever take an off season? Did you ever take like two or three weeks completely off of everything?
No, I don't think. No, not off of everything. No. No, I only had one. I only had one weird bad offseason. It was the year I made the finals, honestly, because I didn't know what to do. And like, I finished London later and then came back and like wanted time off of like from the court and stuff, especially after that. And then felt like I was only home for like 2 weeks before going to Australia. And it kind of just like spiraled into a rough year the next year. So that's the one. That's probably one offseason I wish I could do over. But outside of that, no, it was always, we always finished the same time after Paris, take, you know, take a week off, whatever. I just wanted to go home, honestly, and just be home. So, but yeah, no, never like full weeks off of everything.
Wanted to bang the drum at the Chiefs game.
Yeah. Yeah.
How cold was it that when you did that?
It was, oh God, I think their actual temp was probably like 5 degrees and it was probably like negative wind chill or something insane.
Yeah.
it was brutal.
Sounds awful.
Yeah.
Stevie, you ever take 2 weeks completely off?
Always of tennis. I would never, as soon as I left whatever city I was in last, rackets wouldn't see the light of day until post Thanksgiving. Like not even a question.
You always were like that.
Never a question. If it was, and if I stopped early, it was a month. If I stopped late, it was 2 weeks. Like I would never touch a racket until the Monday after Thanksgiving. Like it was non-negotiable, but like I would do exactly what John did. Like I'd go to the gym for like an hour a day because you just feel better, you know, or yeah, you exactly. Do something different, yeah. Right? Like, you know, especially being out here, like in LA, like I'd hit like the Pilates class one day and then a SoulCycle class the next day. Like you just do something different to kind of keep the body fresh and active. But no, I would never play tennis until after Thanksgiving. It was just non-negotiable.
SoulCycle. How good. I love like the SoulCycle classes or like the Orange Theory, the yoga classes. They're so good.
Not yoga, but yeah.
Anti-yoga. Hot yoga only. If you're not doing hot yoga, I don't know why you're doing yoga.
Yeah, because you can't get your body loose in the
no, like it's so like
65 degree room.
So
yeah,
odd. It's not. All right, let's hop into some fan questions. All right, this one's from Eduardo. We talked about this last week, maybe like guys that we like don't really like. Jack hinted at something with Feliciano Lopez, and Eduardo wants to know what happened when Lopez came at Jack in the locker room at the Houston clay court event.
Yo, I was playing him in a night match in Houston, and Mr. Lopez didn't like how I was behaving, I guess, on court. We kind of got into it. Even said something as we passed by the chair umpire, and then I thought it was squashed out there. Backed it up with a win, which was nice. But then we got in the locker room, and he like actually like approached me. I think him and like a coach or somebody was with him. I was like approaching me and whoever was with me. In there and started saying stuff and then did try to do the Euro one leg up on the bench, like get the power stance going. But at least clothed this time. And yeah, I just kind of like was speaking aggressively towards me in English and like Spanglish.
Love it.
But I honestly think I said something like enjoy your flight back to Europe and then like walked away or something.
That's couldn't, always whoever wins the match.
Couldn't help it. Yeah.
Always wins the argument.
Yeah.
All right. This one's from Andrew. How important is finding the right fit for a coach on the ATP level? And like, in other words, do players really just need a coach or are they very particular about their coach? How much of the player's success results do coaches get credit for? I'm going to go to John on that one.
Yeah. It's really important. I mean, you can't become a high ranked professional tennis player without a coach. Yes, you know how to hit the ball, but you need someone. And it's more about the work you do away from tournaments, clearly, on the practice court. And you need a person that, of course, you respect, you get along with, someone who's going to organize everything for you and really have a plan for your practices, because that's where you're getting, you know, the bulk of your work done. And then when you get to a tournament, everything's already been done, right? It's just about just getting yourself primed and ready mentally, most importantly, to take the court. So it's very important to have a coach that, again, you respect and takes care of everything for you, has a plan for you, and you execute on that plan day after day. So yes, it's like it's extremely important. I mean, the coaches play a huge role away from the tournament, more so than they do at a tournament, in my mind.
How do we, a couple weeks ago, the ATP voted on coaches of the year. Do you find that so hard to judge? You can be a great coach and coaching someone who's ranked 60 and not having a good year, but the coach is fantastic, but you don't know it. And then vice versa, an average coach could be coaching someone who's 4 in the world.
Yeah, it's a popularity contest when they does
it's
that.
Like, yeah, like. It's a total popularity contest when you're I get at some, like, there's some obvious cases. A guy's ranked 30, gets a new coach, then, you know, he's ranked 10. Like, all right, I get it on paper, but it's so hard to, like John just said it, most of the work happens behind the scenes on the practice courts when no one's watching. When people are voting on these competitions, how do they know what a good coach is and a bad coach?
Yeah, that one's crazy. I mean, there's no way to judge.
I think they should get rid of that category. Like, right or no?
Well, it's just, no, it's just subjective. I mean, it's just.
Yeah, it's very subjective. Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you manage the person at that point. Like, I mean, Carlos is going to be fine. Yannick's going to be fine. Felix is going to be fine. Like, all those guys that were in that award. But can you manage the person? Can you associate with how, you know, that gets them out there to play their best tennis? I mean, that's all it is. I mean, there's tennis in there as well, but like, it's, John hit the nail on the head. There's a lot more that goes into it than when you get to the tournament.
All right. The next question is from Bernardo Teixeira. Am I saying that right?
I think you got that.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think I got that right. I wonder if we got like butterflies in your stomach when the draws came out. He's been playing tennis since he was 4 and in a D1. He still gets it. Stevie, did you, when draws came out of tournaments that the hour before, were you getting nervous or anxious or no, it's just another draw because you played so many tournaments?
Yeah, no, it's just another draw. But like when you start going through the draw, you get a little nervous, like especially at slams or these bigger tournaments, because you might get a nice workable draw somewhere. And then you're scrolling through the list and you're like, oh, there I am. I'm playing Roger first round. Well, I can go home, you know, kind of thing. So like I didn't get nervous. But you just wanted to see your name. That's all you wanted to see. Not next to one of those guys.
I like got a little more like nervous at butterflies for slam draws.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just a slam draw, like the 250s, yeah, 500s, 1000s.
No, but like Jack, did you feel like that before, like a Wimbledon draw, like the hour before, like you'd be checking your phone all the time, then the draw would come out, and you'd like be scrolling through on the phone, you get like little butterflies.
Honestly, I don't think I ever got any really, except maybe the U.S. Open some years when I knew it was going to be hot. And then if I was going to play a grinder, I knew I was going to cramp out and die at some point. So honestly, I was hoping to play like a bot or somebody at the Open where I knew I could get through. But if not, I knew it was going to be like a rough, tortured match for me in my sweating. So only just the U.S. Open a couple of times probably. And it's always dramatic when they do those draws. It's like everyone's tweeting out like who's playing who. And then like, I don't know, it feels like way more of a scene with that draw than some of the others.
John, you ever get like the...
Yeah, I absolutely. I would get the butterflies. And I actually really miss that part of the pro tour. The anticipation
really?
Of a draw. Yeah. The anticipation of a draw coming out, especially at the Grand Slam level, of course, for sure. But even at your 250, like in Dallas,
really?
Or Atlanta, I don't know. There's always that anticipation I enjoyed. And you don't have that anymore. Sorry?
Would it immediately go away? Like when you saw the draw, were you like, oh, like I have
yeah,
to play?
Yeah, it would go away. Yeah, for sure. Okay. It would go away.
It's not like you were nervous for like 3 days.
Oh, no. Just right up before it.
Yeah, okay.
There was, if you weren't seated, which John basically was at every slam for your career, but if you weren't seated, the draw came out, you started scrolling down, you didn't see your name, you're like, am I going to be down near the two seed? And you're like, Rafa or Rod? You started to panic a little bit, like, where's my name? Like, all right, I'm to the last section of the draw now. This is not looking good. And then ultimately, you pretty much never got it. Did any of you guys ever play Roger or Rafa or Novak first round at a major? Where did you play? Let's go with Stevie.
Yeah, played in Australia the year... forget which year, 2020, if I'm not mistaken, because I was, I think I've told the story on there. I was at the Bendigo Challenger the two weeks before because of the fires down there and stuff. I was tanking the second week. I just wanted to get out of there. It was a small town. I'd been there for like 15 days. I was in the quarters. We're at dinner and I was like ready to leave, you know, get to Australia, get ready for the Australian Open. And I'm scrolling down. I'm like, oh, I play Roger first round. I better take this one a little bit more seriously here. Ultimately ended up winning that challenger, which was a good choice because then I got rocked first round by Roger. Hadn't played a match in like 6 months and beat me just like 2-3 and 2, 2-3 and 3. Like, but you know, not close, 2-3 and 3. Like that's not close either. It could have been 0-0-0, quite frankly.
Jack, you ever play one of the big three first round in a major?
No, I only played one of them once in a major over my career anyways.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty nuts.
Rafa at Roland Garros.
Rafa at Roland Garros in 5 sets for John. Yeah.
No, Jack played Rafa at Roland Garros.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Did John, you played Rafa first round at Roland
Garros? Yeah, somewhat famously played him first round and took him to five-setter
battle.
Yeah. It was one of those deals. I dropped out of being seated for like a cup of coffee. I was ranked like 35 or something. And I played Rafa first round.
That's how it always works, though. You just miss being seated. You're always playing one of the top guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I played Federer 1 year first, like my second year on tour. I played him first round of the French Open when he was seeded one, lost 4-3 and 4. But like Stevie, it wasn't close.
Yeah. He gives you a couple free games out there.
All right. Well, one more. This is Moad, the last one. Why are there less serve and volley points overall in tennis today? I feel like this question, no offense to the question, like it's answered like all the time. Like the strings, the rackets.
Technology is too good now.
Get the technology, get the ball down.
The balls are heavier. They are heavier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just the technology. Like guys can bend the ball as much as they want, spin it, hit winners from anywhere on the court. I mean, it's not it's not wood rackets. We're not Jimmy Connors playing with a T-2000 anymore. You know, the ball's moving.
It's also just the players. Yeah, you hit winners from, what do they call it? Like 8 meters behind the court in the corners. Like, it's wild.
Yeah, I mean, how bad is the metric system, by the way? It's so bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
I got no issue with the metric system.
Yeah, you do.
What's worse, metric system or TSA?
You have no idea what that means. 8 meters.
Zero idea.
I got an idea. You got no idea. What it means. It's, dude, it's from here to across the room. Like, I know long.
We're going to get some comments like, you Americans, you know.
Oh, my gosh. They just like.
Bring it on.
I love
take feet and yards all day.
I love sometimes the way when we're doing the pod, we're doing like the European pet peeve segments and the comments like, you uncultured American. You like, we're purely just joking.
Yeah, we're joking. Yeah.
We're joking. Yeah, we're this, joking. Some of the Nothing Major fans, chill. All right. You guys got anything else?
I think that's a great way to end.
Good pod. We just get mad at our own fans, huh?
Yeah. Really excited for this TSA segment.
Can't wait
at some
to
point.
See Sam win most of the awards. Just pronunciation, worst take. Sure, yeah. Sam will clean house.
Yeah, we'll do it. All right, we'll be back on Monday. We'll see you guys then. As always, hit the subscribe button on YouTube, X, TikTok. What other one is there? Instagram. The main one.
Our Instagram's right. growing, weekend. Guys. We're like in the 80s, 80,000 something on Instagram. Our
steady growth.
Our Instagram is fire. I just want to like.
It is good.
The Instagram is number one. Mm-hmm. Like, no doubt, hands down, number one tennis Instagram account is ours.
Facts.
Thanks to the
Thanks, SIFT team. Thanks to the team at SIFT.
All right.
I'm serious.
No,
sorry.
Yeah.
All right, then. We'll see everyone on Monday.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No.